Island, a very nice, young, wonderful man. He used to be in the Maryland area, and used to regularly listen or come to the shiur, and he's since moved to New York. He's actually working in an important role in the Rudy Giuliani campaign. That's not a political advertisement, it's just a fact. We wish him matzlacha, at least personally, if not, even if you don't support the candidate, we certainly wish him personal success. Rudy Giuliani? Is he a candidate? Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't get it. Anyway, we thank Rabbi Chol for the sponsorship, and this is Le'ilei Nishmas, his grandfather of Mordechai, Ben Reb Chaim Shmuel. I didn't get a chumash. Okay. So, in Parshas Kitisa, I wasn't sure what Hilchos Egel would be. Not obvious, so to speak, in terms of choosing a mitzvah. However, towards the end of the Parsha in Perek, what is it, Lamed Daled? There, the Torah tells us, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chavav, Beishis Bukurei Admascha, Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing the first fruits to Hashem. Again, this is also really more reference, more popular Bikurim from Seder Dvarim, but it's referenced here. And then the Torah continues, Lo Savashel Gidi Vachalei Dimo. Now, this is actually the second time in the Torah Lo Savashel is mentioned. The first time is earlier in Sefer Shmos, the Perek of Gimel, and the third and final time is in Devarim, Perek Yodalad. And we know very famously, the Gemara teaches us, Lo Savashel Gedi is mentioned three times, and that actually creates three different Isurim: cooking milk and meat, eating milk and meat, and having Hana, benefiting from milk and meat. So I wanted to discuss one of the attendant or side peripheral halachos, but it's one that is very, very relevant to our daily lives, from this prohibition of milk and meat, and that is the question of waiting in between meat and milk. Now, the basic halacha d'oraisa is eating, cooking, and benefit. And even the eating, so as many of you probably know, if you were to take a fully cooked piece of chicken, or, okay, let's be more precise, meat, and put slap on a piece of cheese and take a bite of that, even that is not the iser d'oraisa, because they weren't cooked together. But at least, so cooking itself has its own limitations, but the bottom line is, if that's the case, so certainly eating a piece of meat and then 20 minutes later having an ice cream is certainly not included in the Issa D'Oraisa. So that's certainly not what the Torah had in mind. That's not in the Chumash, it's not in any Pasuk. So the question is, where does this come from? So what I want to discuss this evening is, where does this come from? Why do we wait? How long do we wait? And what are some of the other exceptions and parameters? And we will try even to justify the minhag of the German community. Maybe, if you behave. So the Gemara in Echulin, on Daf Kuf Hey, has a discussion a little bit about waiting in between meat and milk, milk and meat and milk, back and forth. The Gemara has some conflicting memoras, and then the Gemara kind of concludes its discussion with the following very interesting statement in the name of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva says the following, regarding this topic that we're discussing about waiting, Ana loha milsa, I am, with regards to this issue, chala bar chamra legabe abba. I am like vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. Now, before we go on, we probably don't know what's going on, but other than to imagine that vinegar is less desirable, is less valuable than wine. So he's being modest in his own level of accomplishment or punctiliousness vis-a-vis his father, in this regard. And now, the Gemara then explicates, what does he mean? To Ilu Abba, when it came to my father, ki hav ochel bisra ha'idna, if he would have eaten meat, lo hava ochel gvina ad lemochar, ad hashta. He did not eat anything dairy the rest of the day. He would not have milk until the next day. It's not exactly clear from the Gemara itself, as long as it's the next day for breakfast, it's okay, or you have to wait 24 hours. That's not clear from the Gemara itself, but the next day. However, he says, but me, ilu ana, v'has udasa hu deleka achilm, I would never eat meat and milk in the same meal. But l'sudas achrisa achilma, but the next meal, I would do it. So he's not completely rejecting or negligent of this tradition of his father, because he does wait. But he doesn't wait nearly as long as his father, and that's why he compares himself modestly, but I guess accurately, to vinegar compared to wine. His father waited all day, he only waited from Su'uda to Su'uda. So, again, big question is, what does that mean? How long do you have to wait? not clear at all from the Gemara. And we'll get to that. But I think the first question to ask ourselves is, why do we wait at all? Again, that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says don't eat them together. So why do we have to wait? Why wait at all? So this is the subject of a very famous Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi on this Gemara says, Mishum debasar mosi shuman, meat is by nature fatty, vuhu nidbak v'peh, and therefore that usually sticks to the inside of the mouth, umarech betaimo, and there's some lingering taste of the meat due to the residue which stays in the mouth. And therefore, because there's this meat taste, so we don't like the thought of that mixing with the dairy that you may have subsequently. It's not really what was prohibited by the Torah. But, as Xera, the Nisr de Rabbanan, apparently the Chazal established that we want to have this background. And again, extrapolating, even though Rashi doesn't, extrapolating if we're going to wait, and even though I will get to how long you have to wait for it, but for just for the sake of being able to make coherent sentences, let's just call it 6 hours for now. So what happens if you then wait the 6 hours? So presumably by then, there's no more taste in the mouth. Whatever residual fat gets stuck in the mouth will by then have been broken down and swallowed and mixed around and gone, and therefore the taste will no longer linger. But according to Rashi, the principle is that the taste of the meat lingers in the mouth. The Rambam, in Hilchos Machol, Sosuros and Perek Tes, when he quotes this halacha, the Rambam has another theory. The Rambam, I don't want to read the whole thing now, not that it's that long, but here the Rambam starts making all sorts of other opinion points, which are relevant to other topics which we'll get to, in terms of how long you have to wait, etc. But then the Rambam adds, what is the reason? He concludes, Mipnei habasar shelbein hashinayim she'eino sar v'kinuah. Meat gets stuck in your teeth. Now, I know this because I just got a very bad report from the dentist. And he said to me, do you brush your teeth? I said, once a day, every day. Sometimes, maybe even twice. But do you floss? And I was caught. And I'm seriously paying for that, literally and figuratively. So I've been like, the last month, momish, like, I'm walking around with a little floss thing. I am. I don't know if it'll be too late or not, but I guess it's never too late. The bottom line is, now I'm so cognizant of it. Right? Meat's not the only thing, but it's one of the prime troublemakers. Meat gets stuck between the teeth. Says the Rambam, that's what we're worrying about. The meat is going to get stuck between the teeth, and just washing your mouth out in a more casual way, kind of the way you would end the meal, that doesn't do it. I guess you didn't necessarily have floss, and even if you had floss, you can't assume that people are always using it. Never, because there's meat lingering in the mouth, that's not just the abstract or more amorphous taste of meat, which could mix with milk in your mouth, it could actually be meat itself. Again, no one would think this is Nisar D'oraisa, but the Rambam says that's what we were worried about, it's not a good thing, it's not such a nice thought to imagine that you're having your delicious milchic dessert while you've got meat in your tooth, and it's going to come out, and it's going to get mixed, and it's not a good thing. The tour on this siman in Shulchan Aruch, all these halachas are found in siman Pei Tes.
So it's not like zero.
No, I don't think anyone says that. Nobody says that. The shaila, since you mentioned it, there is a shaila about the law of bishul. If you want to know about xera, is bishul xera atu achila? Now you'll ask. This was the other topic I considered speaking about. Now you may ask, how could that be? Isn't Bishul an Isra D'Oraisa? The answer is yes, but it may be on the short list in the Halachic Hall of Fame known as Siyagi D'Oraisa. There's a Kesef Mishnah, for example, that basically says explicitly that Bishul is a Siyag Atu Achila. If you're going to cook it, what are you going to do with it? You're going to eat it. So if you don't cook it, then it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, you can't eat it. Again, we're talking about milk cooked with meat, which is Isra Achila. So if I don't cook it, how could it ever exist? Then I won't be able to come to eat it. There is that day, it's a Kesef Mishnah, there's others, a huge, huge discussion, and just so you should know, maybe this way I won't ever speak about it, because I'll give you all the punchlines right now, that's one shita. The more predominant shita is that they're two separate Yisurim Bechlau, and then I dug up Marcheshes years ago, the Marcheshes seems to have a relationship between the two, but in the opposite direction, that that if you'll do an Isser Bishul, that's the primary Isser, because you did the Isser Bishul, the Isser Bishul, we, so to speak, almost constant and give a status to the product. We don't want you to this is now Chefta of Yisura. Now you can't eat it. But it sounds like from the Maharash says that perhaps the Isur of Bishul came first as a primary. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off. But you mentioned the Gzera. That's the possible only Gzera that I know of. That Keset. Mishnah, whoever. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes
or no? Yeah, Takanos Darabanan. Not everything's Gzera Atu. I mean, again, no one formulates it that way. Maybe you'll say, I don't know if anyone says this, but maybe you'll say, well, if I'll have it like this, then maybe I'll come to enjoy the. But I don't know what says that. I think they just, that itself is a little bit of a problem. Too close to home.
No,
I don't agree. If you floss right after you eat,
I don't know whether.
Let's not get too personal here, but.
If you take a survey, you know.
It's not nitzel from anything. It doesn't taste as good as it did when you took a bite of the geschmack of steak. But I don't think anyone would spit it out. Or if they do, it's not because it's inedible. It's not inedible. Maybe 6 hours later it is. Maybe that's the Rambam Shir. Or the Gemara Shir. But not initially, I don't think so. The tour, as I was saying, the tour in this Siman Pei Tes, he suggests two nafgaminas of this machlokas. He's, again, it's some, almost like an achronish piece, but it's actually already in the tour. The tour says this is a classic chakira machlokas, and there will be two nafgaminas as the tour. Number one is, what if you just chew up ever so gently, your lois is the term, you chew up ever so gently to make it in little bite-sized pieces for a child. You don't even swallow it. You just chew it up a little bit. Right? The boiled chicken, you chew up a little bit to give to a child. Does that make you fleishiks, the way we would use the term, that you have to wait for 6 hours? So says the tour, it depends on what the reason for the halacha is. If you assume that it's for the taste, the shuman, that's nidbak bapiv, says the tour, the stomach, you don't have to wait. You didn't really have a geshmak, a chewing fest, which would impart the taste into your mouth that we have to be worried about. You just put a little bit in your mouth just to make it soft for a child. But according to the Rambam, lois is still, you're still biting. And therefore, we have to be worried that some got stuck in your mouth. That's the first nafkamina that the tour suggests. He then suggests a second nafkamina, which maybe in a certain sense give you the opposite results. He says, what happens if after 6 hours, you taka waited, and the tour uses that shear, 6 hours you waited, and then taka, you go like this, you know, in the mirror, and sure enough, you still have meat in your teeth. Can you be oblivious to that or not? Or do you have to remove that before eating the milk? So says again, the tour, he thinks that that is a nafkamina. That according to the Rambam, interesting enough, and I think this is debatable, frankly, but he says, according to the Rambam, who is the one who's worried about basar ben ashinai and meat caught between your teeth, it's only in the first 6 hours, because by then it still has, in a certain sense, the status, if you will, of meat. But he assumes that after 6 hours, it's kind of degraded to the point that we're not worried anymore. Whatever is still between your teeth is not called meat. As opposed to Rashi, as long as the meat is, that meat is there, he thinks, that means that if you're just worried about the taste is still going to linger. Now, again, I think that even that Shiloh, you could disagree with his applications, and I'm not here to necessarily push the application per se, or make it Haba Hatayi. Maybe you could argue in his application, but he does suggest these two nafkaminas, which can run in opposite directions. In one case, the Rambam was Machmir, and in the other case, Rashi was Machmir. These are the two suggestions of the Torah. However, it becomes moot from a practical perspective, because the Torah himself concludes this presentation by saying, V'tov le'echos v'chumrei beis hatam. You should be machmir in both. All the chumras of Rashi, except all the chumras of the Rambam, except. And in fact, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Yerodei Tzimut Pei Tes Sif Aleph, the language is as follows, Ochol Bosar, if you have meat, and he adds, doesn't matter what kind of meat, Lo Yochal Gvina, you can have dairy afterwards, until you wait. He discusses the 6 hours, we're not getting to how long you have to wait to yet. And then he adds, so the Shulchan Aruch in conclusion, Afilu Im Shoha Kashir, let's say you waited the full amount. Yesh basar ben hashinayim, tzarich lahasiro. You have to remove them. Now, according to the tour, that's only true according to Rashi. Whereas in theory, according to the Rambam, you would be mekel. So if you stop there, you Shulchan Aruch possibly like Rashi. But then the Shulchan Aruch concludes, v'haloeis latino, you're chewing it up ever so gently without even swallowing it for a baby, tzarich lahamtin. You still have to wait. which according to the tour was only according to the Rambam. So you would be confused. And then if you're only learning Shulchan Aruch, then you open up, you'll see the Taz says he's taking like both Kumras. But if you're ready to tour, you're not surprised at all, because the tour himself says, Tov l'echos kachumrei beis hatamim. You should accept both Kumras, and in fact, that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. He is machmir like both. Now, there is some kulas, don't worry. There are some kulas. And in fact, the Pischei Tshuva here quotes, what if you are chewing up some kind of food that has meat fat, fleishach fat, fleishach shuman in it, and you're chewing that up for a child? You're not being low waste meat, you're chewing up some fat. So he, not ready to give a kula yet, but he does, again, he says, misvara, he thinks the kula yalma should be allowed. Because there's not going to be a taste, even with real meat, the Rashi assumed, according to the Torah, there was no taste. You don't have to worry about anything getting stuck in your teeth, because it's fat, it's not the actual meat. Fat doesn't get stuck in your teeth, it's the stringy meat that gets stuck. So Misvara, he says that, but I can't remember if this is in the name of the Prima Gadim, I don't remember who, but in the name of somebody, I think it was Prima Gadim maybe, he says, lo plug, you put meat, and again, shuman of meat is still fleishach, and therefore you put it in your mouth, and that is a problem, lo plug. But that chumrah, which is really, we almost got to the kula, but then we pulled back, but by taking that little step, so that allowed the darche tshuva. The darche tshuva was the munkacher dine. Any Hungarians any here? You? You? Okay, good. Right, the munkacher dine here. Right, Chavi and Isaac Klein are here. They're my usual ones, my token. Oh, Tommy, I didn't even see Tommy. The munkacher dine, in your honor, Tommy. Huh? Yes, I'm sure. You could. So, he suggests the following kula. What if you just put a little bit on your tongue to taste? You take some flesh and you want to taste it, but you didn't chew up anything. Says the Munkacher Dayan, that is so far removed from the actual cases that we asser, that he thinks that is mutter. You're not chewing up anything. You're chewing up a little bit, so then, at least according to one opinion, it's a problem, and even if that's only shuman and it's only fat. Bottom line, he says, this is so far removed from any of the svaras to be machmer and therefore taka. And this is I once got a shayla on an Erev Shabbos from something like this. I don't know why they need to eat dairy right away. But they had tasted something. They were cooking, so maybe it was an Erev Shabbos. I don't remember. Somebody asked me, in the process of preparing food, they tasted just a little tongue. They didn't swallow, they said. They just wanted to taste a little bit on the tongue. And now are they fleishach? I said, are you from Munkach? I said, actually, funny, you should ask. No. I said, well, it's okay. You can accept this kula also. If we get a kula out of Munkach, we take what we can get. No, I'm just kidding. In all seriousness, he is maple, and I think that's an accepted kula.
When you say you're eating, does it have to do with
becoming or something? No, not at all. Not at all. Another kula from Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in the Igros Moshe. He was asked, I don't know how practical this is, I don't know how relevant this is anymore, but at least when he was asked, the child was a fleishach vitamin, or some kind of a medicine which was made. I think the case then had to do with the liver or a kidney. I can't remember what, but that was the material. It was made out of animal. Okay, I don't know what. He doesn't give the details of it. He refers to it as a vitamin. In case you're curious, vitamins are spelled with two vavs, two yuds, a tes, aleph, mem, yud, nun, and then of course a samach, vitamins. Vitamins. So that's what the shulchan. That's the particular shayla of the Igros Moshe. But of course, whether it's medicine or vitamins, it's all the same thing. He wants to know: it's mamish flesh. It's meat products we have identified, and you're going to then swallow that pill. Are you fleishach or not? Says Rav Moshe, no, you are not. And I'll just read you the key line. He says, "Upashut shegam bazeh mutter." You don't have to wait. Shaleka bazeh hataimim shehuskaru. According to Rashi or the Rambam, it doesn't make any sense. There's no meat taste that lingers in your mouth, and there's no meat getting stuck between your teeth. There's nothing to worry about. So even if you'll say we have to be machmir like both reasons, like the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, here neither reason applies. I will say, but then the Pischei Tshuva have a case where he also thought that neither reason applied. If the Pischei Tshuva said, lo plug, we're going to be machmir. Says Rav Moshe, you don't even have that here. Va'af mi tam lo plug, nami vitamin. She'eino dover hanechal ela hanivla. You don't chew it, you're just swallowing it. Ein shayach gam lo plug bazeh. And even if you'll say this person actually chewed it, it doesn't matter. That's not the derech way to do this. There's no meat, there's no flay, there's no actual meat, there's no actual meat taste, and therefore, even though the properties are actually meat, therefore Moshe says you can be makel.
Something to
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Again, I don't think it's similar to you. It's good you're at. I think you and Myron are both asking questions in a certain sense, meaning, because the point is, and the answer to you is, I think, consistent, that it's not a formal halacha like we have in other things. And it's not a din and achila in terms of the amount or the way you're eating it. If we were practically concerned that you had, according to each one, Rashi or Rambam, for the respective concerns, or in our case, according to either one, then we would be machmir, regardless of the amount or regardless of how you ingested it. Again, on the last point, Rav Moshe throws in the idea of shalach yadarach achila, that you swallow it. But the first thing Rav Moshe says is that neither of the reasons apply.
If you took a cocktail, Frank, and swallowed it.
Oh, so that's the next point. Good. Very good. So I want you to, I actually think, and I think I once for a child was Mako. I have to see if other poskim would have supported me or not. But Misvara, I always thought that the direct application, which is much more practical from Rav Moshe, is what if you swallowed something small or some piece of without chewing it at all? Without chewing it at all, you just swallowed it. So Misvara, according to everything we've seen, you should be Mako. Now, I did see just today in reviewing for this year that Rav Feivel Cohn in the Bari HaShulchan, he wanted the machmir for that, and he cited his raya, this Rav Moshe. Even though Rav Moshe was mekil, but he says the last point that Rav Moshe had was, well, because it's medicine, and that shlo darach achila, you generally swallow medicine, but you generally chew a hot dog, you generally chew meat. So therefore, he thought you couldn't use Rav Moshe's last reason, and since Rav Moshe mentioned it, and he wasn't satisfied with the first point, perhaps you get into the low plug of the Tisvei Tshuva that we started with. So I shuddered a little bit when I saw this, because I don't remember exactly how old the child was. It was not an adult. And the shul was somebody's child. I just don't remember if he was over Bar Mitzvah. But I remember, I think it was at a Shabbos Kiddush, and somebody asked me, and I believe I was Mako. Now, I'm not sure why. He probably had to go home and have lunch anyway, but that's my recollection. So if anyone knows of any other Rabbanim or Mekel in such a Shiloh, you can make me feel better by telling me. Otherwise, next time someone asks me, I may have to be machmer like the Bari HaShulchan. Okay. Now I want to move on to the next very important, and I know people are always very interested in this topic, is the question of how long do you have to wait, and of course the various minhagim. Let's see if we can catalog, before we start, how many minhagim do we know about? So let's start off with going from longest to shortest. So what's the longest time people wait?
6 hours.
What's the second?
5 hours.
Into the six. I guess if you want to do a 2A and a 2B, you can do 5 hours in a minute, which happens to be my practice. And then you have other people who do 5 hours in 30 minutes, 5 hours in 31 minutes, 5 and a half. But it will call that into the fifth. Good. That's number two. What's number three?
Three.
And number four?
One.
Good.
Two.
Someone keeps 2 hours?
Dutch wait 1, Swedish wait 2.
You're making that up. If you can confirm that, we will give you extra cholent next week. Okay, you will have a job. You have homework for next week.
I don't really think years. I don't remember who told me.
No excuses. You have homework for next week to see if you can confirm that. If you can, extra cholent. Okay, those are the four sheets. Now let's see where it comes from, okay? Four? Where does that come from? Huh? Your brother-in-law keeps four. Okay, unheard of to me heretofore. No pun intended. Any shilas in general in life, you blame on Hungarians. I'm Polish. It's been a long time we've been at each other's throats. Come on. For old time's sake, let's have a mach like this. Okay, I've never heard of it before. That's interesting. I'm curious where it gets from. Let's see. Maybe we'll have a theory by the end of this year. So let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mention... On both sides, the Gemara didn't... Who says that? Anyone?
I thought I heard that one.
Okay, good. You also have homework for next week. See if you can find out who does it and why. If you do, you get extra chones.
How long was that?
He said a half hour. We did that already. Okay, so now, one thing you all have in common every amount of time you said, none of them were in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't say anything. Well, that's one chumrah, but that's not even marukva. Marukva says, I waited from one meal to the next. That's all the Gemara says. Gemara doesn't say six, three, five, one, or a half, nothing. Gemara says from one meal to the next. Not the same suda, as the language went, not the same suda, but sudasa achrita. So this is a vague, somewhat vague term, and this is the subject of a major machlokas rishonim. Not so much how many hours to wait, but as we'll see in a moment, whether hours are even a relevant factor. Because again, that's not what the Gemara said. And in fact, Tosfos takes the Gemara at face value. Tosfos says that what's being focused on the Gemara is you can't eat them in the same meal. And therefore, as long as you are mafsik from one suda to the next, which he means is not you clean the table and you clean, you have to bench, you have to do something that's mafsik. Either you clean the table or you bench, you wash out your mouth. Again, we don't have the meat lining over, that's going back, or the taste, whichever one you want to say. You can eat milchis miyad, says Tosfos. It could be however long it takes you to clean the table, however long it takes you to bench, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or 5 hours, that's irrelevant. Says Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't say anything about time. Who says anything about time? It has to do with the next meal, period. That is the shita of Baal Yatosus. The Rambam is one of, if not the first or the earliest Rishonim, who throws in a time quotient. I'll read you the Rambam. Mish achal basar b'tchila, whatever meat it was. Lo yochel achar avcholav, you can't have anything dairy. Ad shia b'nehen. Kidei shir suda acheres. You have to wait the amount of time between meals. Vahu kamo sheish shaos. And then he adds why, because he's worried about the meat hanging around in the teeth. So that's, you see how the Rambam read the Gemara. The Tosfos took the Gemara's term of new meal literally. The Rambam understood the Gemara as that was a melitza, that was a simon. It didn't mean literally the next meal. What is it, a joke? 2 minutes later I have a new meal and that counts? No! The Gemara meant the general time that is in between meals, and the Rambam understood, again, typical biblical or even Talmudic times, what do? They had a big breakfast and a big lunch. That's what they ate. They didn't have a big dinner, they had a big breakfast and a big lunch. So how many hours approximately did you assume was that? Said the Rambam, 6 hours. And therefore, what's the shear? Odoros? 6 hours. The Rambam says that the Gemara only uses a melito. We try to quantify what a kabeitz is, what a kadis is, what that is. So it uses a simon ba'alma, the next meal. But it doesn't mean that if you have the next meal 2 minutes later, that counts. No, it means how typically, right? If you're a chazer and you eat 2 meals closer together, that's your business. But we generally assume that the halacha is, says the Rambam, that if you generally wait 6 hours, that's the way society runs. That's what the Gemara was alluding to. And the real halacha is 6 hours. The rush. I think that is probably what the Rambam did assume. I mean, that's just, I think, that's a cultural anthropology question, but I think so.
No, it's just the only other thing is if you're saying 3 meals a day, then that presumes that you're only getting 6 hours of sleep. I'm pretty sure the Rambam said
yes, 8 hours, 8 hours.
You shouldn't eat 2 hours.
8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours. Nobody says you need 8 hours of sleep.
Right. Your meal was 12 hours.
Okay. I think the answer to your question is that he assumed you ate 2 meals. Two major meals at least. Okay. The Rush explicitly says 6 hours, and the Hagos Sashri says, oh, you see the Rush, he's also holding like the Rambam, he must have read the Gemara that way, and he's explicit again, the Rush straight out, nothing like the Rambam's model, like the Tosfos model, it's a quantity of time, it's an interval, it's 6 hours. How do we paskin? So both the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch seem to accept the Rambam / Rush. The Shulchan Aruch, again, to read the Lashon for you is, after you've eaten meat, lo yochal zmina acharav, ad shiyisha, sheish sha'os. The Shulchan Aruch is unambiguous. You have to wait 6 hours, and it seems a full 6 hours before eating. And we know that that comes from the Rambam, apparently, and certainly the Rush. Yes. Now, what is the shita of the Ramah? The Ramah here has a difference of opinion, it seems like, with the Shulchan Aruch, and again, so as Ashkenazim, that is going to be relevant for us. So this is a very complicated, in a sense, or convoluted Ramah. He says three different things. Let's take them one at a time. First, the Ramah says, after the Shulchan Aruch said 6 hours, Yesh Omrim, De'ein Srikan Laham Tim Sheishos, Rak Miyad, Im Silek Ubirech, Birchas Amazon, Musar De Kinuach Vahadacha. Right away, you can eat, as long as you bench and clean your mouth out. Whose shita is that? Tosfos. Okay, so it's not surprising if we would stop now. Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradi, passing like the Rambam, And the Ramah, the Ashkenazi Paskins like Tosfos, that you can eat right away. You don't have to wait at all. The Rosh himself was, I've mentioned this in other contexts, the Rosh was a very unique and very, very important Baal Halakha, because his life's history, if you know it, he went both. And in fact, he's one of the first Rishonim that we have that is a hybrid of Ashkenaz and Sephard. It's a very, very important Rishon for that reason. So it's not surprising to see him on either side of any particular fence. You can't categorize the Rosh that way at all. People, I kid you not, I mean, that's the subject of PhD theses, to try to understand really the Rosh and, again, his influence, which he had in both directions of Sephard and Ashkenaz. It's an aside, and if anyone, if you have a future opportunity to speak to him or hear from him, it's one of Rabbi J.J. Schachter's very intense academic interests, is the Rosh and this bridging from a Baal Halacha perspective of Ashkenaz and Sfarad. So then the Ramah continues. That's, we stop there, it would have been a regular Ramah. Shulchan Aruch following Sfarad Rishonim, Ramah following Ashkenaz Rishonim. But then he adds, number 2 point, HaMinag HaPashut V'Medinas Elu. But apparently that's not the custom. Even though he paskins, he quotes from Tosfos, that's not the custom in our area. He lived in Poland. Rather, what do they do? What is the custom? Laham tin achar achilas basar shachas ba'ofan achar kach gvina. The minig is to wait an hour. Whose shita is that? Excellent, excellent. I'm very proud of you. Nobody's good. Nobody's shita. That's great. That's it's a pella. This Ramah is a pella. He endorses a minhag which has no basis in halacha. V'haminug ha-poshut b'medinas elu, prevalent practice, l'hamtin achar achilas ha-basar, sha'a achas. Wait an hour. And then he adds, shrichim levarech gamkin brechas ha-mazon. Okay, an hour with benching. Toz ha-vik ha-suda acheres, demutul echol le-divri ha-mekilin. V'lo brechas ha-mazon le-mahane ham-toa sha'as. Sha'achas. It says, but I tell them all the time, the Ramah says, I'm staying from the shtender, from the bima. It's not just enough to wait an hour, you also have to bench. But he has this idea of an hour. Where does it come from? So if you take a look at the Bir HaGra, he says the Makor is, wouldn't you guess, a Zohar. The Zohar says an hour. Why the Ramah should endorse it, how that became practical, customary in Ashkenaz, I don't know if the Gra knows or suggests, but that's what he says is the Makor. Others suggest, if I remember correctly, I think it's the Taz, which I think is a very glatt reading of the Ramah, that it's a compromise. And the continuation of the Ramah, I think, lends credence to this. Namely, it's accepting Ikkar Hadin, the Shita, that you could do it right away with benching. But you know, the thought of eating right away, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, is just like, too close for comfort. And therefore, after all, doesn't the Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber have this notion of waiting a set period of time, give a little break? So, says the Taz, he kind of didn't exactly split the difference, but he said, don't eat right away, even though you have to bench, which he stresses, to make a new Suda Acheres. Again, in the Lomdus, if you accept the Suda Acheres perspective, you shouldn't have to have any time quotient, as Tosfos themselves don't. But, to be machmer for this notion of a time quotient, so we're not going to make you wait 6 hours, that's too much, but he threw in the 1 hour. So it's a hybrid or a compromise. That's the Taz's theory behind this idea of the Ramah. So it's fascinating, though, that at least explicitly in Rishonim, there's no marker for it. I'm not sure what's the better explanation. A Zohar or a made-up hybrid? But that's the two prevalent working theories for the Minog that is quoted by the Ramah of 1 hour. And if that's not enough, after these 2 points of the Ramah, he then has a third. What is the conclusion of the Ramah? The Yesh Medaktikim, there are those careful Jews who wait Lahamtin Sheish Shaos Achachilas Basar Gavina, who are Machmer, like the Machaber, and like the Ramah. And then he adds, V'chein Ramam and Ramam and Shulchan Aruch, V'chein Nachon La'asos. After telling you what the Minhag HaPosher of Medinas Elu is, he then quotes the alternate approach, the 6 hour approach, and he seems to endorse that. V'chein Nachon La'asos. It's better to wait 6 hours. Yeah. So what you're asking is, according to Tosfos, which is he working with? Or, why all of a sudden, it's a good question, which I'm not sure I know the answer to, because I don't know what Tosfos themselves, I don't know if they ever give a theory of the why question. But you're asking me, Sfar, if we had two theories behind the why, meat or taste, so really what you're asking, I think, is in what way is waiting 5 minutes and benching going to help those? That's a good question. I don't have a good answer for you because I don't know if Tosfos themselves addressed it. And Misvara, I think it's a very good question because according to either opinion, Chora doesn't magically stop because you benched. Unless the theory, and I have not seen anyone really pointed this out, unless the assumption is that the Baal Yatosfos have a completely different reason for the waiting to begin with. And if they do, I don't know what it is. Okay, get it back to your Xera. I'm telling you, I've seen so much literature on this topic. I've even given shiur on this in the past, and I think we have a chiddush here tonight, or I think it's a very good point. Tosfos seems to be working with neither of the approaches. Again, unless I'm missing something, but as I'm thinking about it now, I think it's a very good point. Again, according to either of the other approaches, they have two practical fears. We're machmir for both, and then it's an interesting question. Is it an arbitrary thing by the poskim? Was it 1 hour? So according to the Rambam, the Rambam is one of the only people who gives you both, as he tells you why and he tells you how long. So at least according to the Rambam, we know what his theory was. The Rambam felt that not that the meat all of a sudden disappears after 6 hours. The Rambam conceives of the possibility that this could be meat, but it's no longer edible to the point that he cares about it. At least the Rambam is internally understandable, but the Rashi never says how long you have to wait. Rashi is a mafarish in the Gemara. He throws in the why. He never tells you how long. So it's hard to know. But again, in theory, he could work with any of them, I think. The better point, I think, which you were making, is how do you understand Tosfos? I don't know. I have to give that more thought.
Wouldn't it be a bottle of robe? No, according to Rashi, all you have is Tom.
Okay.
You have no Igor. You have Tom. And maybe their position is, there's so much more food than there is, it's hard to get a handle on Tom.
Correct. But he's worried, again, he's worried about the time mixing. It's not a question of bittul. Bittul is applicable for different types of circumstances. This, again, I would not say this, but if you will, if I was going to use your categories, I would say, and that's why Mita Raisa is not a problem. Zuchomer Mita Rabbanan. It's a Gemara. The Gemara is the one that says you have to wait, not the Rambam and not Rashi.
Well, if I was counting for that, is Al-Khot Tishir the Rais, the Rais.
Who said that? We didn't say that.
What Rambam stands for Gemara is?
There's no Shir above it. It's not a Shir.
You're afraid that they'll mix with the meat in your teeth.
Okay, and according to Rashi, you're afraid it's going to mix with the taste in your mouth. What's the difference? Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference. Okay. Now, so far we at least know the Shita of six we got. 1 hour, who holds that? That's who? Holland, right, Dutch? Right? So we know where that comes from. We don't know exactly if it's a Zohar or it's a hybrid, but at least it's in the Ramah. So now we have two of the Tzvusos Yisrael. We have the 6 hour people, which is the most common, and we have the, right, Sephardim and Ashkenazim, the Shulchan Aruch says six, Mikra Din. And the Rambam says, the Ramah says, we Machmir like six. But you may ask, if the Ramah seems to pass them like Tosfos, or the Tosfos plus 1 hour, or whatever it is, how come it's so prevalent in Ashkenazim to have 6 hours? So the answer is, first of all, the Ramo himself says, V'nochon lasos. But more than that, if you take a look at the Shach, who has considerable influence, and the Aruch HaShulchan, who also had later significant influence, they both write with unbelievably heavy language, Chalila, Chalila, to consider doing anything other than. The Shach says, anyone who has even a reyach of Torah in them will of course only keep 6 hours. And the Aruch HaShulchan talks about Chalila, anyone waiting less is being poreitz geder, and it's a terrible thing. So you have all of these people piling on, even though it seems to be within the tradition that it's not Mikra Adin. Sfardim holds Mikra Adin 6 hours. But the Ramah has this Chumrah, which has been accepted so strenuously that kind of bolstered it up. So we're still missing two more Shitas, assuming that your two don't exist, which you have homework for next week. But we're still missing two mainstream shitas: the into the sixth and the minhag of real Ashkenaz Germany of three. So when it comes to the into the sixth, as was alluded to, I guess, by Ellie before, this is what is known in the sense of the brisker shita. I don't know if all briskers do it, and even people who aren't brisk sometimes do it, but it's known in the sense of the Brisker Shita, they say in the name of Rav Chaim, and others maybe even beforehand, it was Madaik in the Rambam. He mentioned, as I was learning it, that the Rosh says 6 hours, and the Haggadah says 3, he says, oh, that's the Rambam Shita. The truth would be, look at the Rambam does not say 6 hours. The Lashon of the Rambam is, read it again, Kimo Sheish, 6 hours. So apparently, I'm talking about this, approximately six, or as has been somehow come down into the six. If I'm not mistaken, I believe if you take a look at the Ne'iri on the Gemara, I think he has the Lashon of Ke'en Sheish, or something, or Kishesh, also something like that with a important prefix. If you take a look at the Nishmas Avram, on the Simon Peites in Yardeh, he also collects those who apparently say it. And I also saw just today that Rabbi Neustadt from Cleveland also quotes this, and in his footnote, as long as you go through Chaim, he says this is the Masorah, this is known as Rav Aaron Cutler Shita. Yeah, so he says that was into the sixth, was enough. So that's based on the Rambam, and it has whatever Makaros or other practitioners and adherents. For whatever it's worth, including the family of Gottliebs, who wait into the sixth hour.
How long until the sixth hour?
1 minute, and not a second more. No. No. Okay, so we're left with Nebuch, just one community, our Taira Yidden from Washington Heights, on mine. We want to know, where does it come from? So the answer is, incredibly, for hundreds and hundreds of years, I believe, no one had any clue. No one had any idea. Svarim upon svarim have been written in which they have said, we don't know. And I think it's a testament, not to get too off topic, but it's a testament not only to a general dynamic in Judaism, but particularly in this case, when you have a community which is so, and I mean this with all seriousness, we know how seriously they take halacha, we know how seriously they take minhagim and mesorah. And this is not troublemakers or, you know, these are people who have preserved the Torah and take halacha seriously. If they're all doing something, even though we don't exactly know how, or why I should say, we just kind of assume it's right. And there's this kind of I can't give you a scientific definition other than that there's some kind of a combination. If it would be a different group of people, this is my own theory, if it would be a different group of people who perhaps were not as respected, I don't know if the rest of the halachic world would have let them go. Because it seems to, again, that's first comment. The second comment is new. At worst, you could say it's 1 hour, and new. They weren't so careful about time.
Well, you know what?
In exact about time. Wonder if you know it. Isn't that a joke?
It's halfway between
Tosis
and the Rambam.
Oh, so while we know, I just want to point out. So in recent years, if you take a look, I know of I think three sources. I can't remember the dates. Who came first? There's an article in the Masorah Journal. There is a book, as you all know from Rabbi, maybe some of you know, Rabbi Forst. And then there was also an article, which I'm guessing is also in one of the books, by Rabbi Howie Jachter, all of whom, I don't remember who came first, I'm sure they didn't all come up with this on their own. Somebody got it, and then everyone now is quoting it. They found a Rabbeinu Yerucham. They dug up one of the more obscure Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says 3 hours. Rabbeinu Yerucham says 3 hours. So hundreds of years, no one knew this. Then they dug it up. The Chayadim also seems to quote this, but Chayav is not a Rishon.
Yeah. The Rishon discussed hours. Are they talking about Shabbos Magnus?
Yeah.
That's how you get the three.
You think that's the theory?
Somebody told me that this year.
No, the answer is no. Unless that's the German theory.
In the middle of the winter.
Why not? I don't think so. No. No one says that. Okay, I'm running late. I just want to finish a little bit more for you. Let me give you a little bit more. So I want you to know something. So that's the Rabbeinu Yerucham. Just someone mentioned the compromise. So that I saw that Rabbi Jachter in his article, he mentions that some of his Talmidim gave that theory. But just like we suggested for the Ramah himself, that he was, so to speak, compromising with a hybrid Shita, so perhaps you're also split the difference. This one says 1 hour, this one says six. Okay, we'll say three. Anshei Shalom. I'm not sure, maybe it's the Sirbani Rucham, maybe it's others, but Lamaisa, that is the fourth of the mainstream and well-known and accepted Minhagim. I have no time left, even though I have more to say, but I will just mention a few of the exceptions that are important. Number one, the Tischei Shuvah, quotes the Chasam Sofer, that there's even someone who is just a cholek tzas. Now I'm not talking about very sick or, God forbid, deadly ill, that's obvious. Even a cholek tzas who needs to have dairy for whatever the chole is, so if it would be sakana, he could eat right away, there's nothing to talk about. If he's a cholek tzas, then we say he should at least wait an hour. Where does that come from? Again, it goes back to the Ramah. The Ramah, even though he's piling on 6 hours, but that's all a chumrah. Mikra, din, Ashkenazim hold, you only have to wait 1 hour, or maybe even no hours, according to Tosfos. So we say, okay, at least the 1 hour. They quote this also in the name of the many other poskim like this. There was a particular Shiloh with Kemp Torah Salvechik about someone who had an ulcer, said to have milk, even though they were fleishik. Also said an hour. Rav Yosef Chaim Gonenfeld has a tshuva in the Salmas Chaim, where he was asked about a nursing mother who felt she needed to drink milk to replenish and she was weak. So he also said an hour. And again, the lumdus is the ikaron we hold like Tosfos, and the 1 hour, okay, is an acceptable version of Tosfos, and the 6 hours is just a minog lechumra. Interestingly, and this to me is a bigger chiddush, Rav Adya Yosef says that even svardim, if they're cholim, can wait an hour. Again, the reason that is a bigger chiddush is because Ashkenazim and Mikra didn't hold only 1 hour, so we can disregard the chumra. Rabbi Chaygavna lo kiblu when it came to a chola, but the Sfardim, the Mechaber, holds Mikra didn't you have to wait 6 hours. So yet Rav Adi Yosef still says that nu b'malkum choli yeshal milismoch, you can wait 1 hour. Big machlokas, I'll just close very quickly with a few things. Big machlokas, if you're not sure how long it's been. Right, so in the Darkei Tshuva, the Munkat Yerdayin quotes a major machlokas. Do you say it's a sopik b'tzolamid or a bonon, so you might as well wait? Or what's the svara lahachmir? Davar sheish lamatirin. So no, wait another hour. Usually we say, why put yourself in a makom sopik if you can just wait an hour or 2 hours or whatever? So in that discussion, he points out from the tzlach that maybe it's not a good example of davar sheish lamatirin. A whole very interesting discussion, and I'll add, lamaisa, even though the Darkei Tshuva himself seems to have another kula. Many years ago, before I believe he moved back to Baltimore, Rabbi David Heber, then an employee of the OU, wrote an essay in the Misora Journal of the OU, in which he was machmir on this case. He has a whole lumdus in Davar Sheish Lamatirin. He holds that the note of Yehuda is Soser the Tzlach, it's the same author, the Tzlach of his Chedushim on Gemara, and since he was Soser himself, there's a resolution to that stira, and in applying that resolution, Rabbi Heber felt that you had to be machmir in that case. So, now that he's on the other side of town, maybe we can be Mako.
So you'd have to wait an hour?
Or, as long, you're not sure. Did I stop at 1 or I stop at 2? Or if it's, whatever it is. He held, or if you're not sure if it's a 3 hour, whatever you're not sure about, he felt that he had to be Machmir. This brings me to my last point, which is relevant, which is from when does the clock start ticking? When do you start the 1, 3, 6, or 5.5 hour countdown? From when? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a huge chumrah. Aruch HaShulchan says, if you look in the Gemara, again, what was the Gemara's focus on? Suda, suda, suda. So it depends when you end the meal. So even if, though, you finished eating meat, and then you had a zmira, and you schmoozed a little bit, and then you had desserts, and then you schmoozed a little bit, and then finally you benched, and it's been an hour since you ate meat, the clock does not start ticking until the end of the meal. The focus of the Gemara is meal. So we have to end the meal. That is the Chumrah of the Aruch HaShulchan. But the other posts can point out that it's totally it's illogical, and many, many other posts can say no. Goes by when you finish eating meat. Now, it's an intersection between these last 2 points that is the most common issue, especially on a Shabbos afternoon. What is the likely cause of people being unsure? Because they remember when I got up from the table, but what they don't remember is when did we stop eating meat. So even though you can definitely be makil if you knew when you stopped eating meat, the Shabbos is if you don't remember when you stopped eating meat, you don't remember when the table was cleared and you had brought out dessert, so then you get into the Safik case, and that's the question again, two deos and the Darkei Tshuva and the Chumrah, as it will now know, in Baltimore for posterity, as Chumras Rav Heber. Okay, good Shabbos.